Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord, our God and King. I thank the Lord for another day. You know, one day the rapture will have happened and we're going to be with Him. Look forward to it. I look forward to it in one sense, and I dread it in another. Because, and the reason I would say something like that, I look forward to it because I know when it happens, it'll be the right time. But the reason I look forward to that, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful time for those who love God. It's going to be a miserable time for those who love the world. And I know this. What bothers me the most is, I know so many people, I believe that if they had good teaching, if they would have received the word a long time ago, they would love God. They would understand the possibilities that we really have. And I know for a fact that people would love it if they would just receive what God said. Now, I know that we have abilities. And most people don't believe we have the abilities we really do have. And they don't know you can stop a storm. They think that's crazy. Even though Jesus did it, yeah, they believe Jesus did it, but that was Jesus. They don't believe they can do it or any other man can do it. And most people are that way. But I believe it. And my pastor believes it, and others I know believe it, and they walk in it and they use it. They use the gifts that God has given us. I met people that rebuked storms and they stopped. These are just sample possibilities that we have. I mean, it's authority. God gave us authority on earth. And one day the Lord showed me something about how this was so wonderful. It was amazing. It was so much and so rich. He showed me that even the earth responds to mankind. And the animal kingdom responds to mankind. And the laws of sowing and reaping responds to what we do. When you do what's right, you set in motion things to be better for you and others. When you walk in the love of God, you're showing people the nature and kindness of God, and you got to be rewarded for it. And the opposite is true. If you go and do evil things, then it sets evil complications in people's lives. And it don't stop. When you disappoint a man or discourage somebody and they don't go forward in what they're supposed to be doing, that's partly your fault. If you have a doubtful disposition, everywhere you go, you're going to carry that doubtful disposition with you. And all of your advice is going to be based on that doubtful disposition or however you see life. It's a combination. It's not, people don't totally give in to their doubts and they don't completely disagree with God. Whatever you do right, that's going to be a blessing. Whatever you do wrong, it does damage. And that's just the way it is. And people can lengthen and shorten their time their days on this on earth, and also you can everything, everybody is sowing something and they're reaping precisely what they sow. This is why when people believe on Christ and they live in according to His word, they leave a pattern of good works. Like Paul was writing about in the book of Titus. You know, they leave a pattern of good works. That's why some people can get shot and not die. They can, when they have cancer, they survive. It's a lot of things. When the attacks of Satan come against them, they survive it partly because of what they've been doing. They didn't sow enough evil seeds to die yet. And Satan's trying to make their life miserable and take them out. But they're not going anywhere. And some people, they don't even get sick and they run out of time because they They continue to do the stubborn things. Now, this has nothing to do with the love of God. God loves you. He's not punishing you for what you've done. He's trying to get you out of punishment. People are already, if you broke the law, you're already judged. But you can come out of the damnation of judgment through Christ. And that's how it is. Now, I'm going to talk about, the Lord put something else on my heart. I just had to share that. But, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy something, and it's very important that we understand this. He said to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. At his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, he's showing him how to leave a pattern of good works. Be on the ready. Be on the ready to yield to the Lord at all times. And this is why, well, this is partly why he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So some people don't receive and retain what God is giving. But there are those out there, if they receive the word correctly, before everything goes haywire, they might outlast the false teachers that were going to arise. And see, Satan was always trying to start a dark ages from the beginning. He was always trying to turn off the light. From the time of Christ, even before Christ came, because of Satan's works, his sorcery, which is his lies, Israel believed it, and they sold blindness and deaf ears. They sold a condition of being hard, having deaf ears and blind eyes spiritually. When you study Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord had to, they were so corrosive in their way that God had to blind them and cause them not to hear his word so that they could be scattered all over the world. He couldn't use them. He couldn't work through them. They died. They chose death. He took them out of the land that he brought them to, out of Egypt. He scattered them out of the land, and the land lay dormant. And they're still blind. Now there's a remnant that will come back. Isaiah said 10%, a tenth will return and be eaten or received by God. He used the word eaten, but that means that God received them, 10%. The rest of them are going to die. They sold it. The problem is, in Timothy, he's showing us what the Satan's doing the same things against the Gentiles. Or the church itself. The church is comprised of the Jews and Gentiles. They got saved. So let's look at this again. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sometimes we have to suffer long with people. We have to be long-suffering with people. And because people they receive things, based on what they already believe. But when you're giving them light, you have to be patient. People can't receive light as fast as you want them to always. And remember something. This takes the pressure off. If you monitor the Holy Spirit, if you follow him, and keep him first, you're going to do a perfect work. I monitor the Holy Spirit. And I know things that the Lord have taught me. I know wonderful things. But for years and years and years, almost three decades, I taught a fraction of the things that God helped me understand. And he never prompted me to minister. Only my closest friends who love God, the Holy Spirit, allow me to share some of these things. But when I'm preaching somewhere, if it's a church that loves the word, the Lord will give me more. If I'm around people that are very hungry, he'll help me spend time. He'll prompt me what to say. And as they're receiving and they're hungry, he'll give me more and more. But if I'm around a person that love this, you know, they know the word, they go to church, they hear the word, I monitor the Holy Spirit. I don't just share things with people. I pay attention to the Holy Spirit because he knows what they can handle, what they're receiving, what they want. And I don't try to rush people into receiving something. I know I want to, but in the latter years, I learned not to do that. And there's a lot of reasons why. But one is people don't the day is here now. See, Paul told Timothy what to watch out for. He said the day will come when they will not endure that sound doctrine. But now, the day is here. The day is now that they don't want to receive sound doctrine because of how they process, how they've been taught and trained. When people, in yesterday's broadcast, I mentioned that when Christians think they know something, they can be very finicky in what they receive and who they receive it from. Everybody can't receive from me. And sometimes, you know, some individuals just not going to receive. I don't take it personally. It's just the way it is. But the Holy Spirit knows. See, he don't want people, you know, if you say something and they feel provoked or whatever, he's not the author of confusion. He's a gentleman. He evaluates everything, how people process, how they think. If you share something out of season, they may not receive it. It can be more of a problem. They'll probably go study and figure out how to rebut it. And that does no good. So I've had all kind of things to happen. But things that I learned in the prayer room from the Holy Spirit, you know, in my Pentecostal mind, I thought anybody that loved God would want this knowledge. But look at what Paul wrote. He said, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they have more appetite for tares, for tare doctrines, the doctrine of tares, than they do the doctrine of Jesus. Now on the radio, the Lord got me, you know, the recent radio broadcast, he had me talking about the newfangled gospel, which is something to stay away from. The newfangled gospel is God on the terms of man, or Jesus on the terms of man. You know, there are preachers nowadays, they'll teach what Jesus said the way that they want it to be and not precisely what Jesus said. I told people on the radio, go back to what Jesus said and compare everything you believe to what he said and you'll be safe. And if you don't do it, you might end up in the pit. What about, you mean Christians might go to hell? Christians do go to hell because they change God's word. There's a lot of problems nowadays. If a person is in unforgiveness, then God is not going to forgive them of their sins. They got to pay for their sins again. That took them out of grace. If you break the covenant, I call it a covenant, if you do the things in Galatians 5 that God said don't do, you will not go to heaven. You will not go to heaven. What Paul wrote I call those the no-nos. Don't do that. Some people are preaching you can. Doctrines of devils. He said if you commit fornication, adultery, sorcery, witchcraft, I'm just trying to remember them. They were the most evil things people could do. Envies, strifes, unforgiveness, witchcraft. They're not going to heaven. Now, nevertheless, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They know they ought to do right, so they find teachers that will allow them to do it. Then their appetite changes and they can't endure sound doctrine. And if people are, but if they believe something a certain way, it can, if there's any deception in it, it can interfere with how they receive what God wants to say. And if they've gotten off on a tangent, sometimes they're not going to get off that tangent path unless they spend time. That's why the Lord taught me. He taught me to heal from the inside out. All of my problems that others caused or, you know, things I wanted others to do, he dealt with me. He dealt with my heart. I don't need them to be complete. I'm complete in him. He showed me this. And I had to learn. I learned it at some of the most, at the worst times of my life. Let me say, read this again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things endure. Watch thou. Watch. He's telling Timothy, you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good faith, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. You do it too. This is what has to happen in order for the church to progress. See, people progress in light. When you live the light, you interrupt all the dead doctrines that people preach. When you come around, people scatter like roaches when they believe darkness and they don't want to talk to you. But when you love God and you're doing it his way, you're going to find out that people will not endure sound doctrine. Now, I don't want to focus on that. That's just a little fact because I'm going somewhere else. We don't need anything from anyone, period, to be complete. We're complete in Christ. We've been made complete. Colossians chapter 2. In this set of scriptures, the Jews were trying to get the Gentiles in a snare to believe that they had to keep the law, and that's the only way they could be righteous. Now watch this now. In verse 8 it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, but the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. This is our hope. This is real. For you being dead in your sins, for you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespass. We are complete in him. Then he blotted out all the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You don't need anybody. The Lord taught me one time. He said, break every crutch. Now, one day the devil came to me saying, if you wasn't married, what would you do? Or no, he said, if your wife left, what would you do then? He's trying to, see if I would stand. I said, I'll follow God. And immediately the Lord said, break every crutch. And I learned something from the Lord. Never let a person be a crutch. Don't let what somebody else may or may not do. Don't depend on them to do anything. Because if they change, then you can fall if they're your crutch. If your crutch break, you fall. But I don't need a crutch because I got Christ. And I learned the concept. He was teaching me to live from within. Live off his word in his strength. And this is possible. Now, this is the last thing, it seems, in this day and age, people want to hear. Now, when he told me this, it was in 1988 or 9, I think. And those days, in 80, by the spring of 88, the Lord taught me how to kill temptation. He taught me how to kill it. And I talk about that all the time, so I'm not going to rehash that, all that right now. But I'm going to tell you something that's happening to a lot of people. And it's so embarrassing they don't talk about it. And now Derek Prince, I love Derek Prince. I didn't know about him until I was listening to Steve Quayle, and Steve Quayle talked about him, so I started listening to him on YouTube. But he talked about how people use forms of witchcraft. And he said, when he was alive in the 70s, he said it's a real big problem in the South more than anywhere else in America, in the South. And that's the Bible Belt. Women would withhold themselves from their husbands to control them. And this is happening. And, the people are, that depend on others before they stand, they're falling. They get into adultery and affairs and crap like that. And people look at the man mostly like he's just an old heathen. Well, if people would learn if you take God at his word, he taught me not to let anybody be a crutch. He said, you break, and that was, I did it. He said, break every crutch. I did it in his strength. I saw things much different. I've heard people say, I can't do it without you. They tell their wife that. I can do it with or without you. That don't mean I don't love my wife. But I love everybody with a God kind of love. But I will do what God say do with or without you. With or without my friends, with or without my family, with or without their help, with or without anybody. I'm going to obey God. Because I'm complete in him. He'll just, if people don't want to help or if they want to hinder, God will show me what to do and I'll do it and be done. I'm not going to stop because somebody else wants to. People change. But before I got married the second time, I said, Lord, will my wife follow? Will she follow you? Will she ever not follow? He says she'll follow. And she does. And she loves God. And we pray together. And when I get sick, she pray for me, I get healed. When she gets sick, I pray for her, she gets healed. When our daughter gets sick, we almost called the paramedics 3 times. We lay hands on her, she bounced right back. Her temperature normalizes, she starts laughing and playing, and we're getting ready to go to the doctor, and there's no reason to. God hears the prayers of the faithful. But when there's envy and strife, Peter taught us that it can hinder your prayers. If they're your crutch and you get in strife because they won't do something you want them to do, and it could be a good thing you want them to do, but if you get in strife, it can hinder your prayers. And people are going through, many Christian people are going through many unnecessary problems because they don't endure sound doctrine. And I want to read some of the sound doctrine that we need to be participating in. The Word of God is not just something to know, it's something you do. It's something you practice. Now, and this is important. The way Paul taught Timothy is important. And let's look at Luke. Let's get a sample. There's so many illustrations that Jesus gave us, but let's look at this one. Luke chapter 14. Verse 33. I'm going to read the verse that he put on my heart first. And then we'll go back and look at the context of it. All right. Okay, this is Jesus talking. Verse 33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Sound doctrine, isn't it? Who are you going to put before God and why? Is there any reason to put anybody before Jesus? And I have to say boldly, no. Let God be right and every man a liar. Every man compared to Christ. Now I thank God for all born again people that love God, and the prophet is subject to the prophet. I believe that I believe in that. If the Holy Spirit is speaking, I'll detect his voice and I'll make adjustments every time. But I'm talking about when people want you to do something that God said don't do. Now look at this one. This is Luke chapter 14, verse 1. "And it came to pass, as he went into the house, one of the chief Pharisees," let me read that again. "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace and took him. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they cannot answer him again to these things." See, sound doctrine which cannot be condemned. They were so evil that they got upset that he healed a man on the Sabbath day. And they would take time and go get a... Now, which is harder? Healing a man that needs healing right now, or getting an ox out of a pit? You almost need a tractor to get an ox out of a pit. It's hard to do. And they're going to do this on the Sabbath day. All right. And so they couldn't answer him again. He opened the eyes to the fact that what they believe is so stupid and evil. They want to call him on the carpet because he healed a man with dropsy. Something that you just can't get rid of easy. Alright, if you could, there's probably no doctor that could heal that. And he healed him on the Sabbath day. And they got upset. Okay, nevertheless. "They could not answer him again to these things. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. When he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou began with shame to take the Lord's room. But when thou art bidden, go sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee." You know, he's showing, carry yourself according to the love and wisdom of God. Not pride. Now watch this. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's true. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot pay thee, they cannot repay thee, recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have brought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets